the conflict of faith and culture. We've looked at the fact that there are people in the world who see us as Christians as judgmental people, and sometimes we are. There are people in the world who see us as hypocrites, and sometimes we are. There are people in the world who see us as, well, today we're going to look at whether we're caring or not. Sometimes we deserve the labels people slap on us. Sometimes we don't. As Christians, we are people in a very unique situation. We have one foot in the world and one foot in a heavenly kingdom. We have one foot on earth and we have one foot in heaven. And sometimes those two kingdoms come into conflict with each other. And when they do, make no mistake about it, people are looking at us to see how we respond. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, see, here's the problem. We want them to change when sometimes we need to change. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do people outside of the faith, people outside of the church, how do they see us? Today I want to look at Christians uncaring. The world often sees us as uncaring people. You probably don't view yourself that way. Can I tell you that some of your neighbors do look at you as uncaring? When we speak out against abortion, they see us as uncaring for the poor, single mother who can't afford to feed another child. When we take a stand against the homosexual agenda, they see us as uncaring for people who are in same-sex committed relationships. When we support stricter immigration policies, am I stepping on toes yet? They see us as uncaring for people who are trying to escape brutal regimes in crime-infested countries, and there are some of those. We've got to stop saying every immigrant who tries to come illegally across the border is just looking for our money. There are some who are suffering. And when we say that poverty is the result of poor behavior, poor choices, rather than a person's circumstances. And do you know that by every survey that's been taken, white evangelical Christians, that's us, white evangelical Christians are twice as likely to say that as the general population. We want to blame it on poor behavior. And when we say that, they say we're uncaring. Now, whether you agree with all of those statements or not is not the point. The fact is, that is how the world often sees us. And how we are seen, listen to me, how we are seen by those outside of the faith impacts and affects how our faith is seen and accepted. Can I say that again? How we are seen individually as a church, how we are seen by those outside of the faith affects how our faith is seen and accepted. The reality is, I'm going to say a few things that I know are going to upset a few of you today. The reality is that the gospel is more important than the issues that we champion. The gospel is more important than the political, cultural, social issues that we scream and holler about as white evangelical Christians. What does the Bible say about being caring people? Well, let's look at it this morning. And let's see what the Bible says about caring for other people. And I want to start, we are to care for each other. Caring begins in the church. If we don't care for each other in the church, it's unlikely that we're going to care for people outside the church. So the Bible talks about how we should care for each other. And I want to look at some of the primary passages that talk about how we're to care for each other. Let's start with John chapter 13. Take your Bible, and if you didn't bring a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you, and there it's on page 726. John chapter 13, very, very familiar passage. Again, in the pew Bible, it's on page 726. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples." How? If you have love for one another. The command is simple. We're to love each other. And the result of our loving each other is that other people will see that and identify us as Christians. It's not because we go to church together on Sunday. It's a good thing to do, but that doesn't really say that we love each other, does it? I remember my father, this was before I was ever born, he pastored a small church in North Carolina. And I remember him saying that when they had a church business meeting, he knew who was going to vote for the issue and who was going to vote against it, because everybody voting for it sat on this side, and everybody who voted against it sat on this side. And there was no question about how you were voting. Going to church together doesn't mean you love each other. Do people know that we love each other because we say we love each other? Well, that's also a good thing to do, but it really doesn't demonstrate that we love each other. They will know that we love each other when we care for each other. When there are specific actions that can only be understood as love. You see, actions are evidence of caring. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Now, in the context, the others that he talks about in this passage are people in the church. From verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, he's been talking about our relationships with other Christians. You see it especially in verse 2 when he says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, thinking the same." If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there ought to be some similarities in the way we think about things. He says, having the same love. We're to have the same love for each other. Being of one accord. There's to be a unity in the church. Being of one mind. He's talking about those in the church. So when he comes to verse 4, and he says, all of you, each of you, don't only look out for what's good for you, but look out what's good for others. He's talking about others in the church. We are to be concerned with what is going on in the lives of other Christians. Yesterday at the funeral, Barb's daughter Lori came up to me. She said, they drive 2.5 hours over and spend Saturday to clean out the house so that they can sell the stuff and they can eventually sell the house. And she said, in going through all of Mom's stuff, she said, I found card after card after card after card from people in your church. That was a testimony to her that people in this church cared enough for Barb that they continue to send her cards of encouragement during her times of depression. It's a way to care for each other. So what Paul is teaching in this verse is that we are to be as concerned about what's going on in the lives of other people in the church as we are about what's going on in our lives. I can tell you, I am positive of this, that some of the people who sent cards to Barb Geren are struggling with their own issues, but they took time to minister to someone else. By the way, it doesn't mean that we're busybodies. It means we care for each other. Another passage, James chapter 2. Again, I'm going to ask you to turn to this one. It's a little bit of a longer passage in James chapter 2 in the Pew Bible. It's on page 812. Another very familiar passage, starting with verse 14, James writes, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Now again, the context is the church. We know this because back in verse 15, he's talking about brothers and sisters who are in need. If a brother or a sister in the faith is naked and destitute of daily food. And the story is that you know of their situation where they are in great need and you have the ability to help them, but instead of helping them, you say, "God bless, I'll be praying for you." That's what we would say today. "God bless, brother, I'll pray for you. God bless, sister, I'll pray God provides your needs." And you have the ability to help them. Now, what's interesting in this passage, it doesn't say whether or not you have to sacrifice to help them. We like to read that and say, well, if I have extra funds in the bank, then I can help them. But maybe you have to sacrifice to help them. It just simply says you can help them. And if you don't, there's something drastically wrong with your faith. The message of James is that we're to care for each other. One more passage. 1 John chapter 3, a few pages over probably in your New Testament, not very far. Pew Bible is on page 820. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Very similar to the passage in James. He's talking again about another Christian. He says it's a brother who is in need, and we shut up our hearts. We turn away from them. We don't have compassion for them. How does that show the love of God? Now, according to verse 18, our love is to be shown for each other by our deeds, by what we do for each other, by how we care for each other. Let me throw something in here that I hadn't planned on saying, but let me just say this real quick. One of the things I have found out in being a pastor in a church is that Christians who are in need don't tell anyone else. I don't know if they're embarrassed. I don't know if it's part of our Western mentality that we are self-sufficient and we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I've even had situations in the church where someone has been in need, has not told anybody, and then complained the church didn't do anything for them. Please, if you're in need, tell us. Tell someone so we can help you. The concept here again is we're to care for each other. We have this world's goods. We have what we need. We see someone else in the church in need, but we turn away from them. How does that show the love of God? It doesn't. So this concept of caring for each other, and these are just four representative passages on the subject. It has to begin in the church. But it's not to stay in the church. So let's see what the Bible says about caring for those outside the church. In our adult Bible study on Sunday mornings, we are studying the book of Proverbs. And we have several of us are teaching the course. And the book of Proverbs is a book that has a lot to say about poor people. I don't know if you've ever realized that or looked at that, but those of you are in the class, and by the way, we're encouraging everyone in the class to read one proverb a day. And that way, in the month, you get through all the Proverbs. So don't forget, class, you keep reading one chapter of Proverbs a day. Now, I shouldn't say one proverb, but one chapter of Proverbs. Read one chapter every day. For the rest of you, it's not a bad idea either. Read one. And as you're reading those, look out for what it says about poor people. There is a whole theology of the poor in the book of Proverbs. Here's a couple of examples. Proverbs chapter 19. He who has pity, that word means compassion or mercy on the poor, lends to the Lord. Now, there's nothing in the text. You're just going to have to take, you can go back and check this, but for right now, you're going to take it from me. There's nothing in the text that identifies who the poor are. Are they poor Jewish people? Are they poor non-Jewish people? It doesn't say. It might be a poor Jewish person who was living next door to you. It might be a poor non-Jewish person who lived in Israel. It's just the poor in general. Anyone who is poor. When you have compassion on poor people and you help them out in some way, it's just like you gave to God. Think about that. The verse goes on to say this, and he, that is God, will pay back what you have given. God will reward you for your compassion, for your generosity to poor people. There is a special place in the heart of God for those who are poor. And if there's a special place in the heart of God for poor people, there should be a special place in our hearts for poor people. We should care for them. Another passage in Proverbs is Proverbs 21:13. It says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. It's actually a warning. If you know of someone who is suffering, but you close them out, you ignore them, you don't help them, you don't care for them, then when it comes your turn to suffer, God said nobody's going to be listening to you. It's poetic justice at work. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry, and you could fill in right there, in his time of need, and will not be heard.